I have a little burden I'd like to share with you today. It's on the matter of choices. I'd like to talk about choices that we make in life, the importance of the choices we make. We make choices every day, from what we're going to eat, what time we're going to get up, what we're going to drink, where we're going to go, who we're going to talk to and call, things of that nature. This life is full of choices, and each day is full of choices. And sometimes we feel like those choices are maybe don't have a lot of significance to them. And to a degree, who I call or what I drink or what I eat may not have a whole lot of significance, unless, of course, I'm on a special diet. But then, as we look at the course of life, the long-term course of life, we realize that there are choices that you and I make that can have a lasting impression. And my biggest concern today is the choices we make, we're going to give an account for them when we come to the end of our journey. And I'll read a couple of scriptures to you in the book of Ecclesiastes, and then we'll start talking about some things in the Bible. Talk about choices that people made and their request to make choices. And I'd just like for us to consider the importance of the choices that you make in life today. Not only how they impact you, but how they might impact someone close to you, someone you love, children, grandchildren, parents, someone who looks up to you and holds you in high esteem. Choices you make. If you make a bad choice so quickly, a positive influence can be eroded by a decision to make a bad choice. I thank God through Jesus Christ that He gave us the ability, if we make errant choices along the way, He gave us the ability to have a correcting course for those choices. But we have to be willing to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and be willing, when that time comes, to fall on our knees and our face before Him and humble ourselves so we can get back on the right path. Thank God, through Jesus, there is redemption. Now, God respects our right to choose. He gave us that right when He created us, when He created Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them the ability to choose and the opportunity to make choice of the things they could or could not do. And He told them about the tree there, the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't touch it. Don't eat the fruit of it. Because the day that you touch it, you'll surely die. Well, of course, the tempter came along and said, well, you'll not surely die. You're not going to just drop dead. But no, that wasn't the implication. The implication was that the choice that was made to disobey God then caused them to be in a place where they were outside of the approval of God. That's a dangerous place to be because we never realize the course that we can take after that. But God respects our right to choose. He'll allow you to say no to Him. But remember, He makes the judgment on where we spend eternity based on the choices we make in life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 9, this is what it says. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and the sight of thine eyes. In other words, you're a young man. You have the right to choose. Rejoice in your youth. Be happy while you're young. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But remember, there are consequences for choices. Here's the rest of the verse. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Many years ago, I was in a minister's meeting where we had some discussion on some very important issues, and I remember one gentleman was very concerned about having his right to choose taken away from him. He didn't want you to to tell him what he should do. He wanted to be able to choose for himself. And I remember a brother saying, I have no desire to try to take away your choice and your right to choose, but I do want you to know that with choices come consequences. And if we make good choices, then we can anticipate good consequences. If we make bad choices, then we certainly can anticipate bad consequences. So rejoice, young man and I youth, and all these other things. Let your heart cheer you in your days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So here again, God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, good or bad. Now in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, we pick up fairly early on some choices that were made. Genesis chapter 4, and we find that Cain and Abel had to make choices. Adam and Eve made choices. And Cain and Abel made choices. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, we read this. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So here are choices, you see. Abel kept the sheep, Cain tilled the ground. Nothing wrong with either one of those. Nothing wrong with either one of those choices that these guys made. Now, one place I remember hearing Brother Leslie talk about Cain, how he tilled the ground, but it didn't say he just tilled the ground, but he forced the ground. He wasn't happy just what he could get from the ground. He wanted more, more, more. And he forced the ground. So apparently there was something in his mind that was working in his choices that he made. Third verse, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. So the Lord respected Abel's offering, but Cain's offering was something not quite right about it. And the Lord spoke to Cain and told him that there was a problem. In verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And God said to him, Cain, what's the matter? If you do well, you'll be accepted. I'm here to instruct you. I'm here to give you an understanding of the choice you have made and why I don't accept that choice. But it's nothing that you can't recover from. I want you to know that if you have made bad choices in life, if you've made some errant decisions, you can recover. It might take some work. It might take some humility. It might take some repentance. It might take going to God and asking for forgiveness. It might take going to your fellow man and asking for forgiveness. But there is a way to recover ground. But it takes humility on our part. But Cain was very wroth. He was angry about this, so much so that it allowed him to have in his heart hatred for his brother. So much so that he killed him one day out in the field. Bad choice. And from that choice that Cain made, he was banished. And he was very disturbed. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. But the Lord protected him and took care of him and helped him. But remember the choices these two made. I don't know how Abel knew what to do, or Cain did not know, but I have to believe that there had been some type of instruction given to both of these young men that what was acceptable. And one chose the right way, the other one chose not the right way. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'll read a couple of verses here, all right, with verse 19 beginning. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Choose. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Choose which one you're going to take. Life? Death? Blessing? Cursing? And he says, choose life. Choose life, please, that both you and your seed will live, and you will inherit the promise that God has given to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's another case where choices are set before them, life and death, good and evil. Choose life. Oh, dear one, today is set before you choices that you're going to make in life, what you're going to do with your life, what you're going to do about things in your life. Whether you're going to choose to live it selfishly to yourself, as the scripture addresses the penalty there, or live it to the will of God, and the scripture addresses the blessing that comes there. Now in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, 15, Joshua 24, 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, choose. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Is it going to be the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood, gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell? Are you going to serve the true and living God? Or are you going to serve the false gods? But as for me and my house, we've made our decision. We will serve the Lord. That's a good decision. It comes with a blessing. It comes with something far greater than just my own desires being fulfilled. It comes with hope of eternal life and of a life with God. It comes with hope of things in the future, of pleasant things. Life is going to have difficulty enough in it. Without making bad choices to complicate and put an exponent behind the bad choices. See, things are going to come up along the way. We're going to have grief. We're going to have sorrow. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything is going to go right for you. Sometimes you're going to have reverses. You're going to have difficulties. Tragedies come. I've seen it. I've heard about it. We were there at Monarch one year. We were in our national camp meeting. And a family had left the grounds, and they weren't 15 minutes away, if that far, and had a tragic accident where a child was killed. Who would have anticipated that? Who would have thought something like that could happen? But you see, we're not exempt. Just because we're children of God, we're not exempt from difficulties and heartaches. There are no guarantees in life. People make choices to leave their families, leave their loved one, leave a spouse. People make choices, bad choices, to follow the gambling halls and lose all their assets, lose their money, lose everything they have. And they're not the only one that has to pay for that. If there's a family involved, a wife and children involved, they all pay the price with them because of these choices. Now in the book of Luke, chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, Mary. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and dote over him for a while. Martha, there wasn't anything wrong with what Martha was doing. She was taking care of the business of the house. She had guests. Probably would have been good for Mary to have helped her a little bit. Wouldn't have been any harm at all in it, of course. But Martha was not just busy. She allowed it to trouble her mind. And she wanted Mary to get up and help her. And the Lord got to her a little bit and he said, Martha, Martha, you're very careful and you're troubled over many things. You don't have peace in your mind. You've got so much going on in your mind. Your wheels are turning so much that you allow the stress to affect you so much that you can't even enjoy the moment while I'm here. And we're going to sit down to a meal in a little while. But right now, all it is you're disturbed about Mary. Mary's not helping me. Mary's not doing anything. Mary's laying at your feet. And I need help. Well, the Lord let her know. He said, Mary has chosen that good part. And I'm not going to take it away from her. She's chosen to dote on me for a little while. Now, I'm not saying, folks, that Jesus loved to be doted on. But Jesus knew who he was. And he knew that Mary and Martha both loved him. He loved both of them. And he was willing to allow Mary to be there with him and worship him. And he was willing to tell Martha, Martha, please be careful. Don't let the stress of the day ruin your day. Don't let the stress of the moment ruin the moment. You have choices to make. Mary chose this part. I really wish you would sit down a little bit with us and let's have a conversation. But you know what Martha was thinking? Yeah, but if I do that, the work won't get done. The work will never get done. You know, folks, I'm not saying that we need to be lazy because the Bible teaches us to be industrious in life. But if we're not careful, we'll allow the overdriving of being industrious or the overdriving of accomplishing tasks cause us to lose our peace. And when we do that, we've chosen to allow those things to rule us. I remember talking with a gentleman one time years ago, had his own business, successful. And I said, I got a question I want to ask you. I said, do you ever feel like that instead of you running the business, that the business is running you? He said, oh, Mike, many times I feel that way. That the business is running me. I'm not able to do all the things that I would like to do because I'm so busy and tied down with the business. Well, that comes sometimes with the territory. But we need to remember we have to put first things first. And I'd like to consider while we're talking about this business of choices being made, I'd like for us to consider something. Oh, it's a song I've heard. It's been a long time ago. Songwriter wrote about choices that he'd made in his life. And when I first heard the song, I don't remember how I came across it, who told me. It seemed like someone told me about the song. And I thought, I'd like to just hear what the words are, see what this has to say. Well, I want to read the lyrics to this song to you. And I'm not trying to lift up any person who's the songwriter or the singer. But just listen to the words. Because the individual that sang this song, he understood what he was singing. Because the stories I've heard and the stories I've read, he had a rough life because of choices. So listen to these words. I've had choices, since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. I was tempted. By an early age, I found I liked drinking. Oh, and I never turned it down. There were loved ones, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I made. I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. I guess I'm paying for the things that I have done. If I could go back, oh, Lord knows I'd run. But I'm still losing. This game of life I play, living and dying with the choices I've made. Oh, folks, choices. You see, many times we don't realize at the beginning what the choices are going to lead to. A moment of fun, an idea, a thought, a desire. And the next thing we know, life is gone from us. And we've made choices along the way that have stolen precious, valuable things that we once held dear. I've seen people who had strong, well, healthy bodies make choices to follow a path of drug addiction. I'm not saying they wanted to be addicted to drugs, but they followed a path that took them there. And they changed from being a strong, healthy, valuable, working individual to someone who, yes, still had value, but couldn't hold a job. Couldn't do the job because their choices took their strength away. Their mind was consumed with the next drink, with the next hit of drug, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be drink and drugs. It can be anything, folks, that you and I become addicted to. Anything that we put above God in our choices in life is going to have a negative impact on us. We have to realize that as those things come, and when they present themselves, they don't always look right off the bat like it's an errant choice. But remember, I want you to remember this. If you find yourself on a path of error, remember that there is a way back. The Lord God of heaven and earth gave His Son to redeem lost souls, to help us to have a way to get back on track where we can live for Him, we can serve Him, and we can have peace in our lives and come to the end of our journey. Even though we may have made some bad choices and still have the law of sowing and reaping, no one is exempt from it. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. But if we have the law of sowing and reaping, but if we do make the choice to put God first, then we will have an opportunity to be with Him in heaven. It is my desire today that when you are going through the course of life and the choices present themselves, that you make the choice to serve the Lord. Now, not everything is a spiritual matter. Doesn't matter if I drive a white car or a blue car or a red car. That's not a spiritual matter. But I'm talking about spiritual matters. I'm talking about things that have the potential to take me away from a place of worship, move into a place where I can't, there's nowhere that I can go where I can go to service. Moving so far away that I can't get to service. Making the choice to not attend service. All those things make an impact on our lives. And sooner or later, the choices come home to roost. Thank God that we have a remedy for errant choices. And I want to encourage you this day to fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is something that we need to consider all the way. That's Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. And just remember that we're going to be called into judgment one day. The matter is that we have to realize that, yes, we will be called into judgment, but not to live our lives in fear, but to live our lives with the hope of eternal life through choosing to put God first in everything that I know and understand to do. God bless you this day. And my advice to you is to pray. Ask the Lord to give you direction and guidance by His Spirit, because His Holy Spirit was sent for that very purpose, to lead us and guide us and teach us. Make use of His equipment, the tools that He's given to us. And may God bless you today. And I wish we could all be together in the chapel worshiping and seeing each other's smiling faces whenever we're dismissed, and we can stand around and shake hands once again. And may God help us to be able to really yearn and look forward to that. I know I do. I want so desperately to be able to be back in that chapel and stand up there behind that pulpit and meet you and greet you. Oh, Lord, help us to make good choices so that we can be a family with one another once again, and a family with God in heaven. Amen.